Not much to update you on today. I'd say Jadeveon Clowney's day-to-day. He moved around a little bit today. And Nate Washington, same thing. Had a good practice today, and open it up for questions.
Bill, I know you talked a lot about Whitney Marshalls, but today you're an AFC defensive player. Thoughts about what he's done, and getting an honor like that, the publicity goes with it.
Yeah, no, he's done a good job, and it's you know, it's a combination of his own work ethic and you know, his attitude and his work ethic in the weight room, on the practice field. I think he's coached very well by Mike. You know, so he's done a good job for us. He's one of our most improved players in the 2 years we've been here, and he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Would it be safe to say that JD's made progress?
Yes.
Bill, you talk a little bit about just the playoff setting and the atmosphere. A lot of these guys are going to be seen for the first time. Some have been there before, obviously. But
right.
Just controlling the emotions in a playoff setting, how important is that, especially early?
Yeah, it's a big part of it. I mean, it's going to be a great scene here in Houston. It's a great football city. We know the fans are, you know, going to be great for us on Saturday. And I think the key is that, you know, you just have to talk to the players about that and show them and just give them your own experience with that, and how each play in a playoff game is very, very important. So the best way to control your emotions is to focus on that play and what your job is on that play. And, you know, look, it's an emotional game, you know, but I think the key is that part of that emotion goes into winning the penalty battle. You know, let's not be the most penalized team on Saturday. Let's do a good job of playing with poise and doing our job. Yeah, he's an excellent athlete, tough. He's got explosion off the ball. He's flexible. He's able to dip and run the edge, and he's got a couple different types of moves. He is not easy to block, and, you know, he's a great player.
You have some guys like DJ here that have had playoff experience. Do you think having guys like that on your team matters when you're getting into a playoff game?
Oh, yeah, no question. I think, you know, I'd say the same thing for coaches. You know, you've got coaches and players here that have been in it. You know, JJ, you just mentioned a bunch of guys. You know, Vince Wilfork and, you know, Jonathan Joseph, Brian Cushing, coaching-wise, you know, obviously Romeo and myself, Mike Vrabel. So, yeah, no, I think it's good because, you know, you can just talk to them about their, you know, our experiences and things that went wrong and things that went right, and how we've all learned from it, and try to give them our thoughts on those things. You a Clemson fan? No? That's a bright orange shirt. You would? Wow, okay. BMAC has done a really good job. He's a rookie that's really improved every week. You know, you can see it on film. You can see it in his preparation. And there's a bunch of guys like that. You know, guys that have really put the time in to get better by watching film, by studying, by practicing well. And Bernard is definitely in that category. Yeah, when we drafted these guys, you know, we felt like we were drafting good guys, high character guys that could play football, and you know, these guys have done a good job. You know, even guys that weren't drafted, Drummond and you know Kendall Lamb and guys like that that have contributed for us this year. So it's a good rookie class. Yeah, it helps a lot. You know, they have good hands. They're very smart. They're smart players. They're able to learn what their role is in each game because it changes in each game. And they're involved in protection. They're involved in the running game, obviously. They're involved in the passing game as receivers. And it's helped to have guys like that, no doubt about it. I'm not sure our definitions of typical franchise quarterbacks would be the same, but I'll say this about, first of all, Alex Smith. I mean, this guy, is a mentally tough guy. He's been through a lot in his career. He's really an efficient quarterback. So that means that he gets the operation in and out of the huddle very quickly. They operate at a fast pace. He's smart. He makes very few mistakes with the ball. He really does a good job of taking care of the ball, and he can run. You know, he can really run. So they're able to do some things with him in the running game that really is a threat to your defense. You know, Brian, look, I don't know what definitions are out there. You know, I'll tell you this about Brian. He's a mentally tough guy. He's been through a lot. He's been through a lot this year. And he's been hurt. He's been, you know, in past experiences, he's been cut. And he's come back. And he's had a good, solid year for us. And he's had a good week of practice here. And he's very excited to play. Well, I think you have to. I think that's, you know, a good observation. I think you have to have a philosophy of your team, and maybe that philosophy can change from year to year based on your personnel and what you decide as an organization. But you know, the philosophy here right now is: look, we've got a good defense. You know, they're playing well. They need to play well on Saturday, obviously. You know, I think our special teams has improved. I think at times it can be better, but it has improved over the year, I think, as a whole. And then offensively, I think it's about taking care of the ball, taking advantage of scoring opportunities when they're there, being efficient. And I think we can always improve in those areas, but I think that's primarily what we've done over the last half of the year, and that's been our formula so far.
How do you look at Xavier Sufila, what he's doing, given the fact that Dwayne's not there now? You've got Chris at the left tackle on that left side.
Well, I think it's really good that we have a guy like Chris Clark that can step in and play there. You talk about a good pro, just actually watching him practice today, he just had a really good practice. I mean, everything he does, you know, the walkthroughs and the examples that he sets in the meeting room and on the practice field is just really good. So I think that helps, you know, a guy like Xavier, who's still a young player who has improved, but it's always good when you can get a veteran presence in there next to him. You got Jonesy there on his right, so I think that's good. Right.
The defense has played dramatically better pretty much every week in the second half. Romeo must be a hell of a speaker, or what's going on?
I don't know. It's not about speeches, I can tell you that. But, no, I think the first point you made is important, that you have to – you know, my theory is, my philosophy is, by the third or fourth series of the game, you have to really try to understand how the game's being played in all three phases. And so if you're having trouble figuring that out, that's not going to really bode well for the game. It's very difficult to figure that out sometimes. It's not the easiest thing, especially if there's not a lot of plays or, you know, offensively or defensively, they're doing a lot of different things. So I think you have to adjust while the game is going on. You know, hey, they're coming at us with this running play. Man, we don't have a great front for that. Well, let's go back to this front that we used a couple games ago, because that was good against this running play. Well, the players have to be able to adjust to that, and that's the type of team that we have. We have smart guys that are able to adjust during the game, and then at halftime you try to confirm those things and maybe think about some new wrinkles that you can throw at them in the second half.
What's going through your mind when the flight back from Miami? Were you thinking more about the disaster the first half, or how the team pulled itself together in the second half? I know you had side issues involving your quarterback, but what were you thinking then? Do you think see a future for this game based on what happened?
Well, my first thought was I couldn't wait to get a Coors Light in my hand. But I'm kidding. My thought was this, okay? I knew that, number one, that I had to do a better job. I had to figure out what was not going right for us. And clearly there were a lot of things that weren't going right. And I knew that we had a team. I knew that we had a team of guys that were hardworking guys that really wanted to win. I knew we had good leadership. I knew that we had a good coaching staff. And so I thought, you know, on that plane ride back and then moving forward, I just said, look, here's some things, and I'm not going to get into all the details of some things that we can do as a coaching staff better, and here's some things that the players can do better. And in the end, it's the players. The players are the ones that play the game. They go out there, they execute the game plan, they play the game, and those guys should get, you know, most of the credit. They've done a really good job of getting us out of that. No, I don't think anybody in this league, you know, I don't think that really happens. I think that maybe the game plan changes based on the score. I mean, I'll say that, but I think we made a pact at halftime that we were going to compete. Look, we pretty much knew we weren't going to win that game. I mean, it was a blowout at halftime, but I said if we can just go out there and compete in the second half, and I think it showed something about our team. I mean, look, there's no moral victories. That's not what I'm saying, but I think our team went out there and competed, and, you know, we did a better job in the second half, so I knew that our guys would show up to work on Monday. Yeah, no, I try to think. I really, you know, I know sometimes on the sideline you probably think I react pretty quickly, and sometimes I do. But I in those situations, I really try to think to myself. I write a lot of things down. I just try to figure it out on my own and then communicate it as soon as I've got it figured out, or at least I think I have it figured out.
So it seems like no rec when you hired him as your coordinator, basically, hadn't worked with him before.
Right. Yeah, it's a great question. You know, first of all, I had spent 5 years in New England, as you know, Jerome, and so I knew a lot about him. I mean, his name came up all the time, and the respect that he had in our building, guys that were there that had played for him, coached with him. You know, Bill had a ton of respect for him, those guys. So, you know, that carries a lot of weight with me. And I knew that if I was fortunate enough to get a head football coaching job in this league, that he would be a guy I'd be interested in talking to about being the coordinator. When you talk about situations like that, you've got a guy in Romeo, number one, who's extremely smart, very smart guy, a very poised guy, a guy that's been around a long time, so he's seen it all, and he's very positive. And so he stands up in front of the room. He tells him the truth. There's not a lot of happy – I got to be careful what I say there, but, you know, he tells him the truth. But he's positive in the fact that he'll say, hey, look, this is what it is right now. It's not very good, but here's what we can do better to get us out of this hole. And I think that's one of his best characteristics, is that he's a very positive guy.
Coach, you have the leading sack duo in the league this season. How have you seen?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
The leading sack duo, right, in the league this season, and Juan Merciless.
Yep.
How have you seen their relationship just evolve over the course of the season?
Oh, well, you know, there's a lot of respect there. You know, I know that JJ has a lot of respect for where Whitney has come from. You know, Whitney's worked very hard to get to this point in his career, and he can even get better. He'll be the first one to tell you that. And obviously Whitney has a lot of respect for JJ, and they work very hard. They communicate well together, and I know there's a lot of mutual respect there. Not every player, but some players. Well, you're talking about, you know, and I'm kidding about that. I do value communication with the players. I think that's really important in this league. But the veteran players, the players that have been out there a number of years, that have produced on the game field, you know, that have been in big games, that have seen a lot of different defenses and offenses and special team situations, those guys right there, I mean, they're playing the game. You know, a guy like Shane Leckler, like, he could coach for us. You know, he could coach for us. He's a very bright guy who understands a lot of different situations and special teams play. So, you know, I think you have to figure out a way. Look, you're the coach. You know, you have to direct it and make sure that they understand what to do. But I think you have to do a good job of listening and making sure that you're hearing what they're saying.
Coach,